Hi there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show with me, Tony, coming to you from New Zealand. And with me on the show, I have Pastor Tom Hughes in California. And I've had Pastor Tom on a few times now, and it's always very interesting. So welcome back, Tom.
Oh, it's great being here with you, Tony. Thank you for inviting me back.
Yeah, it's all good. And there's always so many possibilities of things to talk about. We were just saying that off air. So I notice you've got your book there, Marking the Masses, and perhaps I could start there because I've just read it. I had a copy of it, and it's great. I mean, it's definitely worth reading. And it's not hard reading. I was just saying to you before, I found it pretty easy reading and worth reading. So definitely, you know, I would say to people that haven't read it, it's worth it.
Well, thank you, Tony. That's encouraging. So when I wrote it, you know, I wanted it to get into the hands of that everybody would be able to connect with it.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure if anybody wanted to fact check me, they could fact check me. And they'd find out, no, I actually have real facts in it. But I also wanted to present some of the things that have happened over the last few years and then where everything is going and really be able to connect the dots, because people need to be warned and they needed to be alerted. And I didn't want it to come across like a religious book.
Yeah.
Because, again, I wanted it to get into the hands of anybody that they'd be able to go, aha, I get it. These are warnings. And I based it on prophecies, too, that are in the Bible. So what does the Bible say? Well, let's look at this. Where have we been? Especially in New Zealand and Australia. You guys are still in the, you know, you guys are like the forerunners that the World Economic Forum and these globalists are using to direct the rest of the Western world. They got you. You're like the tip of the spear.
Definitely. When we had a Labour-led government until the end of last year, we certainly were. Now we seem to have slowed down slightly, and Australia's really taken up that role, it would seem. I'm not saying that New Zealand's not still on that bandwagon, but it's not being pushed quite as hard as it was under our previous government at this point. Now, just about the book, you know, like you, it's written from, you guys are pre-trib rapture believers, and I'm sort of on the fence on rapture timing. I'm not really committed to, it's possibly pre-wrath or what, you know, whatever. But what I want to say to people is the book, it doesn't really matter what rapture timing you believe in, because the book's still relevant. So, yeah, that's kind of how I saw it.
Right. I didn't want anything to hinge upon a conversation like that. I wanted it to get in the hands of everybody where it makes sense. Anybody, and they'd be able to go, okay, that's why they did this, and this is where that's going. And to really prepare people, I think people need to be warned. And so that's really what this is about.
And then that's what I can recommend and say to people. It doesn't really matter whether you believe the rapture is whenever you believe it is, or if you don't believe in one at all, or whatever. The book is still worth it. It's still reading. It's still easy reading. So, So I would recommend that people get it.
Oh, thank you. That's encouraging. I mean, there's so many interesting dynamics that are taking place. I was speaking a while back in Florida, and I pointed out some things because we're dealing with a globalist agenda. And I pointed out how Rome never fell. What it became was a church, right?
Yeah.
And there's this religious system that is running things. And then also the British Empire, it never ceased. It became a bank. So when you start looking at these things, and you start to see that there's players that are involved, certain families are involved, nothing is new that's been taking place. Tony, I find this also interesting in the Bible, it's the Old Testament book of Micah. In Micah chapter 2, the prophet is writing to ancient Israel and ancient Judah before they're both destroyed. Ancient Israel by the Assyrians, Judah by the Babylonians. And he writes and he says something very interesting, and he goes directly after the people that are leading the nations, including the bad kings, the bad judges, the bad politicians, the fake priests, the false prophets. Mm-hmm. And he says, you lay in bed at night and you think of plans that you can make to harm the people. You wake up in the morning and you put the things that you thought about into practice because it is in the power of your hands to do so. And that's what these people do. I think of the Clintons here in America. You start looking across some of the leaders that you guys have had down under. Mm-hmm. You get this impression. That's what they're doing. They lay awake at night thinking, aha, what can we do to these people? And because they're in positions of power, they make up laws or rules or whatever it is. And then they put them into practice to destroy the people. And Micah goes on and says, in fact, you manipulate things so that you can take the property from the people, you can take their land, you can take their money, and you can take what the inheritance was that they were storing for their children. I mean, you look, you go, what are they doing? They want to take farmland? Mm-hmm. I mean, all these different dynamics over here in the U.S., regardless of what a person thinks about Trump, for him or like him or hate him, there's a case in New York where they're taking everything he owns on these made-up charges. You just look, you know, this is absurd. But we're seeing it with every aspect of society. It's the medical industry. It's the whole scientific community, as I mentioned, with climate lies and the banking industry, digital currency. And you start to realize, okay, these are the things that really are going on. And it's interesting that the Bible spoke of this, you know, almost, you know, 3,000 years ago.
As you're saying all of that, and I'm listening to it and thinking about the pandemic treaty that's going to be voted on, I think, May 27th, and with the WHO, the WHO, and the second largest funder of the WHO is Bill Gates. And, of course, we know that Bill Gates is pushing a lot of what you just said, the removing farms from the private ownership. He's doing the cloud seeding stuff, you know, the weather modification. He's the biggest pusher and funder of vaccines and so on. And so it's like, if our governments end up voting in favor of that, we're almost setting up Bill Gates as a de facto health leader, even though he knows nothing about health. He's never, you know, he's not a doctor. He's one of those people you're talking about.
Yeah, he is. I picture him staying up at night thinking, how can I, basically, what can I do to destroy all the people so that I can have more power?
Yeah.
And I have the power to do this, so I'm going to do it. You know, it's interesting, you mentioned Bill Gates. Here in America, it turns out he partnered with the UN to fund the education department here in America to bring in all of the woke madness about transgenderism. He's the one behind it. And the core math and these kind of things that are insane to dumb people down. And speaking of weather modification, I don't know if you've seen what's going on over in Dubai the last couple of days.
No, can you explain? You mentioned
this
it
is interesting.
Me. Yeah.
So this is a report, right?
Yeah.
This is exactly what the report says. The Gulf States National Center of Meteorology dispatched seeding planes from Al Ain Airport on Monday and Tuesday, with global warming threatening a surge in heat-related deaths in the UAE. Dubai's media office on Tuesday dubbed the downpours rains of goodness despite flooded houses and overflowing swimming pools. The rain forced Dubai International Airport, one of the world's busiest, to suspend operations for 25 minutes on Tuesday, and disruptions continued into Wednesday. So there, listen, and I've read more about this. They said, yes, we did cloud seeding because we wanted more rain. I mean, they were bragging about it. We got more rain. Well, it backfired. It got too much rain. And so, you know, we hear they're saying, no, we aren't doing these things. We're not cloud seeding. There's no weather modifications. Tony, here in California, there's a city that's probably about an hour and a half from me. And on their website, the city's website, the government agency, talks about the weather manipulation they are doing, weather modification, with, you know, that they are doing. They actually give the dates. Well, we did it on such and such dates, and on these other dates coming up, we're also going to be doing it again, and this is what we're hoping the results will be. This, I mean, they're admitting it, and yet at the same time, people will tell you you're crazy for even mentioning anything about it. But it reminds me of Klaus Schwab when people were saying, hey, there's a great reset going on. And people say, there's no such thing as a great reset. And at the same time, he wrote a book called The Great Reset in COVID-19. I have the book. And somebody called me, giving misinformation. There's no great reset. I'm holding the book in my hand on a video. Go, well, here's the book right here.
Yeah.
He says it. You know, so they're telling us they're doing these things. If you bring it up, you're shouted down as being misinformation and disinformation.
Yes. Well, they're off California. They were pumping, and this is a Bill Gates-funded project, they were pumping seawater into the air, you know, up into the clouds, like masses of seawater for certain dates as a geoengineering experiment, but not giving out a heck of a lot of details. My understanding is that, you know, they basically didn't want to say too much. So they're definitely doing it. And, I mean, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. They've been doing geoengineering for years.
They have, Tony. In fact, speaking of going back to Bill Gates also, it was well known that he was experimenting on people in Africa with vaccines.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been well known for a long time. So, and by the way, speaking of, check this out. Here's the book. Can you see that?
Yes, yes.
This is the Great Reset book for all those people who say there is no such thing. He never wrote a book like that. Klaus Schwab, COVID-19, The Great Reset.
Yeah.
And by the way, what he puts in here, I don't recommend anybody to buy it because just give him money. However, it's interesting because he basically lays out, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And so they do it. And with Bill Gates experimenting with his vaccines or whatever other shots he's giving people in Africa, knowing it was killing them, knowing it was maiming them, knowing it's destroying them. These people don't care. They don't care about anybody. When you read the climate agenda, they flat out tell you, hey, there's too many people on the planet. We need to eliminate, 6 billion or 7 billion people from the planet? Because I think it's even more than that. I think they say the ideal is 500 million. Well, guess who the 500 million are? They and their rich friends. And the rest that are left will be their servants. Kill everybody else. So when they tell us that, and some of these things even come from parts of the Vatican, when they tell us that, you start to look and go, and when people shout you down and say you're giving misinformation and disinformation, no, the problem is they're confronted with the truth and they don't want you bringing the truth out.
Yeah, the thing is, what they do put out there and the various things they're putting into place, it's always sold as being for our good and for security and safety, and when in fact it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah, it is. So it's been going on for a long time. I did a message one time and I took people all the way back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. It goes back to the beginning. And fast forward it through the centuries to where we are today and showed how these same things have been going on for a long time. In 1954, there was a document titled, and it appears to be a military or one of those top secret documents here in the U.S. that was used for military purposes, intelligence briefing or documents, what it was. And here's the title of it. Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, 1954. And it talks about silent weapons on a global and national scale. And the silent weapons are information, technology, the economy. It didn't mention it here that I know of, but also we can add to it viruses, the whole medical industry. And it says, when you read through it, it's very alarming, especially when you look at all of the things that these globalists want to do. So these are silent weapons. What they say is, listen, silent weapons don't make any noise. They're quiet, although they destroy, and they admit it, these will destroy families, they'll destroy countries, they will actually kill people. And people will kill each other because of the silent weapons. And it goes into all kinds of mind games and psyops that are done to manipulate the masses of people, the gaslighting that is done. These are all done intentionally to create an environment that these people can take over. And it's not a coincidence that what do we have now? We have a World Bank, World Court, World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, United Nations, and they're looking for a global constitution, a global currency, hence the CBDC's global income tax, global military power, global identification number, which brings us to Australia, why these things are happening there, a global religious system. It is coming. And, you know, you start looking at these things and you go, none of these things are a coincidence that we are watching. None of them are.
That's right. And you're mentioning CBDCs. Actually, there's been a bit in the news here in New Zealand just in the last few days. Our Reserve Bank, which is sort of like our equivalent of the Federal Reserve, talking about, you know, their investigations into a CBDC here in New Zealand. And they're saying, oh, we want it to be alongside of cash. We don't want it to replace cash. It'll be alongside of it. And, I mean, I just know this is exactly the type of way they act. It's, they'll use the excuse, it's alongside it. It's something to make life more convenient. But we've got no intention of removing cash. But, of course, you know what the intention is they get this in place first and then down the track, it's like now we, you know, they'll change that and then getting rid of cash and giving them all the power will be exactly where their long-term goal is. But they're not going to come straight out in 2024 and say we're going to remove cash and make everything go digital, because they know there'd be an outcry. But if they do it step by step and, you know, just like the frog in the pot, and I think that's kind of what's happening around the world in many ways.
Oh yeah. So if we look back at this, right?
Yeah.
Klaus Schwab and his Great Reset. Yeah. That's, you know, that's just a playback. And Klaus Schwab is really a front man for the people that are behind the scenes calling the shots. He's like the actor out front. But
yes.
When you look at it, what do they do? Create the crisis, control the outcome. And this is what they're doing. So with the rollout of CBDC's digital currency, they'll create enough crises to be able to roll out the solution, and they will eventually roll this out. You know, if we woke up tomorrow and found out your money's not here, you'd have, across the world, you'd have riots.
Yeah.
You'd have them in every country of the world. So if they're doing the testing grounds. It was Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii, Canada were probably some of the hardest hit places with coronavirus.
Yeah.
Parts of the United States, like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, right? There were certain areas that were targeted. But again, you create the crisis, control the outcome. So what they've done over the last 4 years, regardless of what anybody will say, the entire world thinks different now, especially the Western world, because guys like you and me, we know they're up to something.
Yeah.
People who listen and watch your program know they are up to something. So we're alert, but still you wonder, when is the next shoe going to drop? We're all waiting for the next shoe to drop. And so hence the CBDCs, when is it going to happen that they're going to roll it out? At first it's with the carrot, right? This is going to be good for you.
Yeah.
And then when that doesn't, and then when not enough people comply, then comes the stick, unless we're going to beat you and we're going to force you to take it. But everything, man, it is all going up to that. And so, these are several things I talk about in my book, this type of thinking. But control, or create the crises, control the outcome.
And they used that playbook, of course, with COVID and with the shot in the arms that came afterwards, the carrot and the stick. And there wasn't riots all over the world because they had everyone in fear. I mean, you had small little riots here and there, but basically the population was behind the enforcing of stopping those rioters as, you know, people that didn't like their grandmothers and so on.
Yeah.
You know, it was clever.
Well, it's exactly. So also, you know, when I go back to the quiet war, the silent weapons, one of the things that this document brings out is with the psychology, they know, and they teamed up with Harvard, I think it was Rockefeller's money, with the Harvard, it was a Harvard Economic Research Group. And what they did is they were able to figure out exactly how to manipulate people which buttons to push, how far they could push people, the percentage of people that would resist, the percentage of people that would go along. It's all math. They've got the whole thing figured out. So when it came to coronavirus, hence you have Event 201, when they decided ahead of time, this is what we'll do. They know how people will react. People have always reacted a particular way throughout generations. It's always been that way. So they knew it. They knew how to push people. The number one motivator is fear. And hence the Bible warns. Fear, Proverbs 29. Fear is the fear of man is a trap. And that's exactly what it is. God says it. The fear of man is a trap. So it was a trap that was set. There's a lot of people that are still caught in that trap. You know, you try to warn them, you're in a trap, and they don't believe it. You're caught. Believe me, you're caught. And they can't see it. So we have that dynamic, but the psychology is there. They know how to manipulate people. Then you bring in technology that they want to, and they're using it more and more with AI, going to be able to do more and more with imaging and right on down the list to be able to manipulate our thinking. Man, we got to be resolute in these different areas and set against these evil things that are taking place.
Of course, next time they roll out a planned pandemic, it's likely to be much more deadly than the previous one, and they know that. They can't just do another one like that one. You know, next time it'll have to be ramped up and get people right away back into that fear, and by then they'll have hope in their mind. They'll have their pandemic treaty in place and all these other things, so they'll be able to roll things out quickly like they did under COVID.
Oh, you're right. They need the pandemic treaty in place first.
Yes.
So like you said, that's coming in May, and it's coming, you know, whether we like it or not, it's coming. But that has to be in place, because if that's not in place, then they aren't going to have the power. So they're laying everything now for what they're going to do next. Hence, not too long ago, I think it was when I was in New Zealand, we kept hearing about Disease X is coming.
Yeah.
Disease X is coming. Be prepared. Be very afraid. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it is. We know it's going to kill you. And by the way, we already have a vaccine for it. You're like, well, how does that work? Now, I think they caught a lot of flack for that, so we're not hearing about that one. But here in the States, we're hearing bird flu has now gone to human beings.
Yeah.
Be very afraid. Be very afraid. And I agree with you 100%. Whatever comes next has to cause more immediate damage, because there are too many people became awake. I don't want to use the word woke, because that's a different term, right? They were wakened to the lies, and they saw, okay, there's a problem. So the next thing has to have more teeth.
Yes.
And a will, which is concerning.
Yeah. And they will use whatever control methods that they practiced out in the last one, unfortunately. So, yes, there's a lot of this is coming down the pike. And another facet I see of this is the church is largely complicit in the lockdowns and all of that, and, you know, and pastors and so on, even lambasting their congregations that didn't get the shot in the arm, you know, and all of that. So as Christians, we should be awake, but by and large, that's not the case.
No, in fact, just the opposite happened. I mean, you look at churches were exposed for the lack of godly leaders.
Yeah.
They were exposed for the lack of real men in the pulpits. By the way, there's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 46, where God says, he tells us the end from the beginning, and he says, be a real man. It's a very interesting passage. Be a real man. I tell you the end from the beginning. I find it fascinating. Because we live in a time right now where you don't have real men in the pulpits. We don't know what we got.
Yeah.
We have woke stuff going on all over the place in churches. But coronavirus and the vaccine exposed churches and leaders. Here in the States, they had pastors were paid money for their churches if they closed and went along with the mandates. I don't know if they had that where you guys are. But they had it here. The government paid money. You guys had that?
I'm not aware that they did, but I do think that perhaps they were paid out to encourage people to get the jab.
Well, it happened here. It happened here in the States. You were paid if you closed, and you could take money, coronavirus money, right? There's some churches that got millions. It's documented. There's a website where you can actually see what churches took the money. There's churches that I know of that pre-coronavirus, you know, they were pretty mainstream, seemed to be all right. Come around to the time of vaccine, they decided to open up as a vaccine center. Yeah. So close your church to the truth, but open up as a vaccine center. That's troubling. So what happens when you already have churches and pastors that capitulated? They compromised. Well, once you compromise with the state, guess what? You've already opened up that door.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happened with these pastors. They're already down the path to a state-run church, whether they admit it or not. That's what they are. So hence, they won't talk about anything like we are talking about.
Yeah.
They certainly won't talk about the truth in the Bible when it confronts modern culture. And we have pastors that are so woke here in America. Tony, there's a pastor last week who had a men's conference at his church, huge church. He brought a male stripper to a men's Bible conference. I don't know. Did you see that?
No, I didn't know about
that. Oh, just bizarre. I've got it in my program this week for You Can't Make This Up.
Wow.
Just bizarre. I mean, what kind of, you think, and then the pastor's trying to defend himself when he got called out, the whole thing. I mean, just, you go, what in the world is going on? Yet, the Bible does talk about that. But right now, I think if pastors were the pastors that they're supposed to be, according to the Bible, we wouldn't have had a pandemic. We wouldn't have had a vaccine. We wouldn't have these things, because there wouldn't have been any traction. Too many voices would have been pushing back against it from the very beginning. Instead, you had too many voices coming from church leaders who said, yes, do whatever Joe Biden tells you to do whatever Anthony Fauci tells you to do, do whatever Jacinda, whatever her name was down in New Zealand tells you to do whatever these people tell you to do, submit to Klaus Schwab, and everything's going to be fine. That's what pastors were preaching instead of what they were supposed to be doing.
Totally. Yes, it definitely was what happened all over the place. Looking at the future, obviously people are hunting around trying to find sound doctrine and, you know, places that they can be, that are not the type of people you're just talking about. Because, I mean, David Wilkerson actually prophesied that what type of thing once, a lot back in the 70s, what you just said us happened in that church, that sort of thing was exactly what was going to happen. But so people now are either getting sucked up into that, or they're, you know, people that like listen to this channel going, we can't find other Christians that are sound or people to fellowship with, and we can't find a church. So it's getting hard for people that are like real Christians woken up to this stuff, awakened rather than woke.
Yeah.
So what's the answer in that? Yeah. You know, how do you find it?
Well, what it appears is happening is that we have the remnant churches building. In fact, when we were down there at the conference in New Zealand, that was a remnant conference, you know, and there are a lot of people that showed up at it. And so there's people, there's pockets all throughout the world. It's happening. So the thing is, you know, we're from the Western world. We can look at in Muslim countries. We can look at China and say, okay, they're locked up in houses. They got to hide if they're going to gather as a church.
Yeah.
And we would have thought, you know, a few years ago, or let's go 5 years ago, thought, well, you know, when's that going to happen here? Well, guess what? We've arrived, and we're not yet threatened with arrest. We're just, it's threats from other churches, other pastors. It's and it's these weird laws that they keep making, and you can't misspeak or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you do that kind of thing, you're going to get in trouble. So what's happening is we have the remnant church that's building. Chuck Smith, who was the founder of Calvary Chapels, he said, made a very interesting statement one time before he died. He said he believed that as the church began in houses, it's going to finish in houses. And that's what it appears is happening. Even in America, I mean, there's some good churches here, and you'll see them on mainstream, not on mainstream media, but you'll see them on internet, and you'll see some of the good churches. But you know what? There's 350 million people or something like that in America. There's not a lot of good churches, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There's a good church here. There's a good church there. There's a good church there. Yeah. And there's a lot of bad ones in between. So here in America, the remnant church is growing and growing and growing. And I encourage people, they do meet online. And I do encourage people, hey, if you're in a town, it's only you, pray that God will bring one more person, because the Bible's very clear. If two or more are gathered in his name, Jesus is there with you. So it's that mindset that I think would really help people to start to understand, get into it, and realize this is where I am. This is, and Acts chapter 17, verse 26, God has preordained the very time that we live in. So we're here. It's 20, whatever year it is, what, 2024, right? April of 2024. And he also has our boundaries set for us, the dwelling places. So we live here. You're in New Zealand. I'm here in the desert in California. We're in our areas, in the boundaries God has given us for his pre-appointed times. And we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are still light. And we do want to gather as a church when we can. And sometimes that church is, quite frankly, it's going to become more and more in our homes with people that we know. And I encourage people, get to know people now, because listen, as these people turn up the heat, it's going to get harder and harder. The climate laws, they're going to become much more difficult to work around than I think most people realize. You can't eat meat. Mm. I heard when we were in New Zealand, somebody's telling me that these globalists want to get rid of the lamb, the sheep from New Zealand. Is that true?
Yeah, we'll definitely reduce the numbers of them.
Reduce the number so they can have them, but us little people, we can't have lamb chops. Listen, everybody knows the New Zealand lamb chops are the best in the world. Mm. When you go out to eat, I don't care where you are, you're saying, well, what kind of lamb chops are they? If they aren't New Zealand, like, I don't know if I want them. And so who are the leaders saving? They're going to reduce the number for themselves, which is interesting because Book of Revelation speaks to that. The elite will run everything while everybody else is destroyed in an economic catastrophe and struggling to find food. That's Revelation chapter 6, the rider on the black horse, the third horse of the apocalypse, the Bible describes. Also in the Bible says in the latter times, they'll command that you don't eat meat. You know, that's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You're going, this is so weird that we're alive during these times.
Yeah.
But you look, you go, you start connecting dots, you go, wow, it's amazing to be alive right now too at the same time.
It is. And I agree, they're making it more and more difficult to get around the legislations that are in the name of fighting global warming and climate change and all of that, which is to me a load of nonsense. But they have the population largely captured. I mean, I was just walking down the street in a town the other day, day before yesterday, and, you know, there were people on the street with placards and, you know, these climate change, we've got to save the planet type people, and just in a little small town. And it's like you can't even – I didn't bother trying to reason with them, because you know they've basically sold – they've bought hook, line, and sinker this whole climate change agenda. And there's so many people like that.
Yeah, totally. Check this out. In 1991, the Club of Rome published a book called The First Global Revolution. I think I talked to you about this once before. But this is a quote from that book. "In searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite," this is their quote, "we came up with the idea that pollution and the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like will fit the bill. And since all these are caused by human intervention, the real enemy then is humanity itself." And it's only, this is what they said, a quote from them, everybody, "it's only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. Who's they? Humanity.
Yeah.
So humanity is the enemy. We came up with the idea that it's climate. So we've got to change their behavior because they are the enemy. That's us. They say it. Club of Rome. It's their own book, yeah. Their own publication. Check it out, everyone. 1991, Club of Rome, the book, The First Global Revolution. I'll read that and go, wow.
Yep. And I'm also thinking when you're saying that, they've got advances in AI and robots now that are becoming more and more dexterous in the things with their hands, the things they can do, the speed they can do it at. They're getting to the point where they're selling us that robots that do us all out of a job is a good thing. You know, we all should be done out of a job because then we can relax and have more fun or whatever. But it's a load of nonsense. What they're doing is making this AI and robotics world so that they don't need us at all because they'll have these machines to do what we're doing.
Yep. They'll only have enough human beings. This is their idea. They only have enough human beings around that they need if the robots can't do everything.
Yeah.
There are certain things robots won't be able to do, I'm convinced. I think when I listen to what they talk about with technology, like how they're going to implant it, and they want to control us.
Yeah.
And they don't want anybody to be able to resist. So the people, their ideas, the people that they're able to trap in this process, saying you're always going to be happy. I think what they're doing is studying the pet population, like dogs, for example.
Yeah.
Dogs are always happy, right? It doesn't matter. You leave the house, you come back 5 minutes later, they act like they've never seen you before. Yeah. It's like no matter what, the way God created them is this way. And I think that's the thought of these Yuval Noah Hararis, the Klaus Schwabs of the world. Mm. That's what they're thinking. We'll create a race of human beings through our technology, people we don't like, but are willing to submit to us and take our whatever augmentation we want to do through technology, and we will make them like that. They'll always be happy. They will always do what we tell them to do, and they will never cause us any grief, and they'll work in some kind of gene editing like dogs. I think that is their thought process when you listen to what they say.
Absolutely. So, I mean, your book sort of covers some of this stuff, and if people want to get a hold of it, how can they do that?
Well, it is on Amazon, but I know over in New Zealand, it's a little bit of a challenge to get it there. However,
if it's on Amazon, it's not too bad. Amazon actually ships here cheaply. It's just if you go through something like the USPS, which is the unbelievably slow postal service, that's not any good. But through Amazon, you can get stuff here quick if you've got it on Amazon. Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. I got to think about that on Amazon. Now that I think of it, it's on Amazon on Kindle.
Yeah.
And on audio.
Uh-huh.
Both of those. And I don't know if you can get the paperback through Amazon, but I know you can get Kindle and audio.
Right.
And they're both reasonable. You know, they're a good price. I tend to do Kindle almost everything now, but they are for sure those two things that I know.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, and we are just to finish off, where do people find you online if they want to check out your other videos and different things? And where do they find you if they want to visit your church?
Easiest way to find me is hopeforourtimes.com. That is the easiest way. And everything is right there. Hopeforourtimes.com.
All right, that sounds good. Well, thanks, Tom. It's been great having you on the show again, as always.
Great, Tony. Great being with you. Look forward to talking to you as soon as possible, and hopefully come back down and see you too.
That sounds great.
All right.
Thank you. And folks, remember our website is aminutetomidnight.com, and we do run 100% by donations, and if anybody wants to donate, it's always much appreciated. And you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com, where you can also find all of our shows and articles. You know, there's several years worth of articles on the website that are worth reading as well. And the music used, I've written, played, and recorded, and there's some of my music for free if anyone wants to download it at aminutetomidnight.com as well. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another show in a few days' time.